الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on to talk and discuss the times of prayers, and this is generally known as mawaqit. So you may find this word mawaqit as-salat, and you also may find it in Hajj, where we have al-mawaqit, where are the locations where you perform your ihram from. So miqat refers to time bound or location bound. And in prayers, we're talking about al-mawaqit, that is the timings of salat. In Islam, it is the simplest religion of humanity. We have no complications. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to be a Muslim. All what you have to do is a Muslim. For example, if you were thrown into an island, can you know how many months passed by observing the sun? If you see anyone and ask him what is today in the Gregorian calendar, without his watch or without his calendar, he would not be able to tell you this. Even if he spends 6 years trying to figure it out, he would not. Why? Because only a handful of people tell you that today is the 31st or the 30th, or it might be the 28th. But in Islam, it's a different story altogether. How do we know our months? By observing the moon. And that is why the Islamic months are lunar months. Anyone who is not even capable of reading or writing, once he looks at the moon and he tells you the month is over, this is the crescent, tomorrow is the first of the month. And when the moon is full, they tell you this is 13th, 14th, and 15th, the white days, we fast these. And when the month is over, everybody knows about it. So alhamdulillah, our religion is a religion of simplicity. Compare our religion with other religions when it comes to marriages. People pay so much money. Some countries, the women pay the men as dowries, and they make a lot of expenses for their marriages. In Islam, it's not like this. A man proposes, the guardian of the girl says, I give you in marriage. He says, I accept. He names the dowry. There are two witnesses present. End of story. She's his wife. Go. When it comes to death, what happens if a man dies in the West? It's a catastrophe. It's a great calamity. Not because we lost a loved one, because of the expenses we have to pay in preparing his body, in putting it in a specific type of coffin that has to be made of this or that wood, and then the headstone has to be made of this or that stone, so expensive, and then we have a caravan of cars going to the cemetery, and some of them have musical bands. They're happy that he died. They have musical bands in front of him. And after that, they go to the houses, there's a reception, and sometimes they even play music. Why? Because he used to love this song. He's dead. You know what's happening to him in his grave? I don't want to know, but we know. He's dead, and you're playing music, and they're having food, and they're having fun, and it is expensive and tiresome process. In Islam, very easy. All of us had people die in our families. How much would it take to bury a person? Maximum 3 to 4 hours with the paperwork, because we have to get permissions from the authorities to bury him. Other than that, a person dies, we bring him, take off his clothes, one or two people who are expert in washing, they cover his private parts, wash him with soap, with the necessary kafur and hanut and so on, number of times. And then they put the shrouds, 3 shrouds, they wrap him in a certain particular way, easy way, any way would do. Take him to the masjid, pray funeral prayer, 4 takbir without any prostration or bowing, 1 salam. Take him to the cemetery, to the graveyard, put him in a ditch, put the sand and soil on top of him. That's all she wrote. Alhamdulillah, he's dead. Why? Because Islam knows that we need these things in our daily lives. That the more you need things, the easier you can get them. Correct? We all need to get married, make marriage easy. We all die, make burial easy. We all need water, make finding water easy. But it is not that easy. Though it's there, we all need to breathe. Breathing is, we cannot live with. So everyone can breathe. You can find it everywhere. Anything you need, Allah made it easy for you to find. So now I need to pray. Do I have to have a particular watch that rings whenever the time is for prayer? No, you don't have to. Do I need to have a calendar stating that the time of prayer is this and that? No. Anyone knows how to pray. How? By looking and observing the sun. How is that? Well, we have times for Fajr, for Dhuhr, for Asr, for Maghrib, and for Isha. So how do I know the time of Fajr? Simple. Where does the sun come up from? The sun comes up from there, from the east. So I am instructed to look at the darkness of the night. The minute I see a white line that is horizontal, this is the break of dawn. I make adhan, it's Fajr time, I can pray. That simple? Yeah, that simple. The sun comes up, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Once the sun is in the middle of the sky, it is forbidden for me to offer any voluntary prayers. I'm having an erect object. Let's assume, I don't even have my pen on. Let's assume it is this glass. I don't know if the camera can see that or not. So as the sun is coming up, the shade is getting shorter and shorter until there is no shade at all. This takes about 10 minutes. Approximately, this is the time that it is forbidden for you to offer any voluntary prayers. It's restricted. The minute the sun goes a little bit to the west and I have a shade that is a little bit to the east, this is the time of Dhuhr. Very simple. Anyone knows this. So I call for Dhuhr and I pray. The sun keeps on going, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and the shade is increasing to the east. The minute the length of the shade is equivalent to the height of the object, so if the object is 1 meter and the length is 1 meter, this is the time for Asr prayer. The length is this long, it's Asr prayer. And the time of Asr extends until the sun's brightness is gone. Because when the Asr is at 4 o'clock, if I look at the sun, it hurts my eyes. But after about an hour or so, the brightness goes and the heat is not there. And this is usually about 45 minutes to an hour before Maghrib, sunset. This is the time of being not recommended to pray. From this time of Asr until this time, it's your choice to pray. But when the light and the brightness go, then you have come into the makruh time. You shouldn't pray it there unless it's necessary for you to delay. Delaying it is not permissible. And the time extends until the Maghrib time is in. And when does Maghrib time come in? When the ring of the sun completely sets and disappears. So the minute I see the tip of the sun disappears, it's Maghrib time. Give adhan. If you're fasting, break your fast. You don't have to wait for anyone. Okay, now the sun is gone. How am I gonna know when to pray Isha? Well, actually, as the sun has disappeared, what will I see in the direction of west? What will remain there? There will remain redness. The redness of what? Of the sun that has disappeared. There's still some glow. So this redness is an indication of Maghrib prayer remaining. Until I see this redness disappears, I can pray Maghrib. Once the redness disappears and all what I see is pitch black, this is the time of Isha. Now the time of Isha has begun. When does the time of Isha end? The time of Isha ends when the middle of the night is due. But be careful, the middle of the night is not related to 12 a.m., as a lot of the Muslims think. The middle of the night is calculated. How do we calculate it? We measure when Maghrib is and when the break of dawn is. So what is the period between them? If we look at places where the Maghrib is at 7 o'clock p.m. and Fajr is at 4 o'clock a.m. From 7 to 4, these are what? 9 hours. True? Divide them into two, we have 4.5 hours. Add the 4.5 hours to the 7 p.m., it results in 11:30. This is the time where Isha time ends. If you pray at 11:31, you are praying outside the Isha prayer, and your prayer is not accepted nor valid. We have a break, so stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.